Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a band of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who God favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us."
So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the ponderings of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who comes to us in our ordinary, everyday lives. Amen.
Amen.
Greetings to you, beloved Christ the King community, on this glorious Christmas Eve, where we have gathered in worship and praise of our God, who comes to us in flesh and blood as a baby. Here at Christ the King Lutheran Church, we can't help but celebrate with all the bells and whistles, with our finery, with music and incense and procession. We are excited about and in awe of what God did so long ago and is continuing to do here and now. During the month of December, our Wednesday evening adult Bible study compared and contrasted Jesus' birth story as it's presented by each gospel writer. If you've never done this, I highly encourage you to go in and see what you find because it might surprise you. To pique your curiosity, here are a couple of questions. You didn't know there'd be a quiz tonight, did you? Which gospel's birth story talks about the three magi who come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I heard it, Matthew, way to go. Yes, Matthew, and we're gonna hear that story in a couple of weeks when we celebrate Epiphany. Which gospel writer's birth story talks about the beginning, where there was the Word, the true light coming into the world? John, where have you got that one? Good job. And we're going to hear some of that story later in our service tonight. All right, a tricky question. Who is the gospel writer who does not mention the birth of Jesus? Mark. So that leaves us with Luke, the only gospel reader who brings us the story of the angels and the shepherds that we heard tonight. Heaven's glory descends to the earth. The glory of the Lord is visible, shining around the shepherds as the angel of the Lord brings good news of great joy and a multitude of heavenly hosts praise God. You can almost hear them all joining in our song, Angels We Have Heard on High, ringing their bells and ribbons, singing the descant with the most beautiful tone quality. You can almost see them twirling through the sky, glittering and sparkling, somersaulting around the stars, maybe even the star, the one that the Magi are already following. And then the angels return to the heavens. The sparkle recedes. The moment of glory is temporarily gone. And the shepherds are left where they began, in their normal, ordinary fields with their normal, ordinary sheep. But now they are tasked with a new mission. They're left with a scavenger hunt. They are to go and find a child, and not just any child, a child wrapped in bands of cloth, in swaddling clothes. This is how a parent did, and many do still care for their newborn babies. They swaddle them in blankets using one of a variety of techniques, all claiming to be the best for the assured sleep of the baby and therefore the parents. But this baby, this newborn, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord would not be found lying on a bed of gold quilts. This baby, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord would be found lying in a bed of gold hay, in an animal feeding trough, in an ordinary space, in an ordinary room that in those times were a room on the first floor where animals came in to eat at night, to rest, to be protected. An ordinary space for an extraordinary baby. We hear in our story tonight that when the shepherds departed, when the angels departed, the shepherds decided to go together to Bethlehem in haste, with a sense of urgency, to find this baby lying in a feeding trough. When I think about the logistics of this story, I envision an almost comical parade of shepherds and sheep making their way through town, chit-chatting with excitement while their sheep are hurrying along beside them, nervously bleating, noticing the change in routine. I can almost hear the shepherds knocking at the doors, interrupting meals, asking, is there a baby inside lying in a feeding trough? I can almost see the confused looks on the faces of the people answering the doors. What are you talking about? And can you imagine that particular moment when they found that baby? The angels were right. There's the baby, swaddled in blankets, lying in a feeding trough. And there were the baby's parents, Mary and Joseph. I imagine they were quite surprised by the entourage of shepherds and bleating sheep entering their space. And then the storytelling began, and all who heard it were amazed. God came into their midst, and they were changed. When I think about God coming into ordinary spaces where ordinary people are gathered, I can't help but think of a local Lutheran expression of church called Kindred. Every couple of months, on a Sunday evening, I make my way to Kindred to offer Holy Communion. This community gathers in Montrose in a church building whose nave was remodeled to create a dinner church gathering. Two rows of long rectangular tables take up the majority of the space, with some of the old pews lining the walls. The lines of tables and chairs remind me of picnic tables in an outdoor pavilion where you might have an extended family reunion. The group gathered around those tables is eclectic and diverse and ordinary. Teachers and flight attendants, those experiencing homelessness and addiction, those hungry and those well-fed, sharing a meal and worshiping God together. And the children, there are always children. Sometimes one or more infants are present with parents hoping for help with diapers or formula or clothing. Sometimes older, more energetic children are there with their single parents yearning for some relief from caregiving. And sometimes those present simply embody childlike spirits. A few weeks ago, I was asked to return to Kindred for their monthly Holy Communion service. It had been about 3 months since I had been there, and as I entered their worship space, I didn't expect anyone to remember me. So I was surprised and humbled when I was greeted and embraced like I was a long-lost auntie. Indeed, Kindred defines themselves not as something you go to, but rather something you are part of. Everyone was eager to show me how their space was decorated, with Christmas lights and greens hung all around the space, particularly in the food service area. After we gathered and sang together in this ordinary space, we got in line for some delicious home-cooked chicken soup, and then we sat down and shared our modest meal of hot soup and bread and moved into a time of prayer. We prayed, as we will tonight, for our church, our world, and those in need. And we concluded, as we always do at Kindred, allowing time for anyone to add their own personal prayer. As the room grew silent, there was a pregnant pause. And then, one young adult who could not contain himself any longer exploded in a joyful proclamation, "Thank you, God! This was the best Christmas ever. I hope we can do this again every day." His tone of voice indicated he was experiencing that magical moment when a child runs down the stairs to see the gifts under the tree. Because in that humble, ordinary space, he experienced God's gift of grace, and he couldn't keep it to himself. He was like the ordinary shepherds who experienced the glory of God and then had to go and see and proclaim what God had made known to them. This fantastical sense of amazement, of wonder, of mystery, shared in community so long ago, shared by that young adult at Kindred, is readily available to us each and every day. Back then, and here now, God comes once again to ordinary people in ordinary spaces. During Holy Communion tonight, our choir will glorify God with a song entitled In Silent Night by Mitchell B. Southall, which holds in tension the wonder of this holy child who one day would cry and later would die on a cross for you and for me. As we ponder the meaning of this holy child in our lives, and as we receive the body and blood of Christ, we experience the mystery of our faith. As the real presence of Christ becomes part of us, our ordinary beings are filled with the extraordinary grace of God. It is okay if we don't fully know or fully understand who God is. In fact, encounter with the divine is an essential and ongoing discovery in our journey of life. Just as Mary did not fully understand the holy child she birthed, we can continue to mull things over in our head, to find more pieces of the puzzle, to throw around ideas and experiences and allow them to wash over us as we reflect and discern, remembering that God encounters us each and every day in the ordinary of our lives. In the new year, we will be starting a sermon series entitled Now is the Time. If you've been wondering what church has to do with the rest of your life, this sermon series may be of interest to you. We will be exploring scripture and themes of expectation, purpose, fulfillment, perseverance, and change. I personally invite you to return in the new year in the ordinary busyness and challenges of your daily life to spend time in our spiritual home and community as we encounter God again and again in our ordinary spaces. As we leave the finery and splendor of the Christmas Eve service, may you and I experience the glory of the Lord in our everyday lives. May we, like Mary, continue to ponder what all of this means. May we, like the shepherds, make haste to go and see and encounter Christ. Glory to God in the highest heaven. This is the best Christmas ever. I hope we can do it again tomorrow and every day. Amen.